No, I just love when the songs we sing line up so well with the rest of the morning. That first song, Hymn of the Holy Spirit, we sang of Jesus, you're my light, you're my path. That's exactly just what we're talking about today. God is our light, and that's so beautiful. But before we get into it, I'd like to pray, so please pray with me. Almighty God, you see the hearts of each of us in this room. You see our failures, you see our flaws, you see our sins, but Lord, you also see the indwelling goodness that you have embedded in our souls. We thank you for making us holy men and women who get to glory in you. We pray that you would glorify yourself today. Help us to see you as true, see you as good. Convict us, encourage us, and unite us with your perfect Son, Jesus. It's in his name we pray. Amen. 1 John 1 has quickly become one of my favorite chapters in the Bible. Over this summer, I've been trying to memorize through some of 1 John, and this chapter has just really stuck with me. And so I want to bring this to us today. God is light, and in him there is no darkness at all. Please read this with me as I read aloud. 1 John 1, chapter verses 1 through 10. What was from the beginning, what we have heard, what we have seen with our eyes, what we have looked at and touched with our hands concerning the word of life. And the life was revealed, and we have seen and testify and proclaim to you the eternal life, which was with the Father and was revealed to us. What we have seen and heard, we proclaim to you also, so that you too may have fellowship with us. And indeed, our fellowship is with the Father and with his Son, Jesus Christ. These things we write so that our joy may be made complete. This is the message we have heard from him and announced to you, that God is light, and in him there is no darkness at all. If we say that we have fellowship with him and yet walk in the darkness, we lie and do not practice the truth. But if we walk in the light as he himself is in the light, we have fellowship with one another, and the blood of Jesus his Son cleanses us from all sin. If we say that we have no sin, we are deceiving ourselves and the truth is not in us. If we confess our sins, he is faithful and righteous, so that he will forgive us our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. If we say that we have not sinned, we make him a liar, and his word is not in us. This is the word of the Lord. This is such a striking statement, and it deserves reverence. I think in our culture, we hear a lot about God being love, and that's true. That's actually just a few chapters later in this book of the Bible, 1 John. But I know for myself, I think much less often about God being light. So what does that mean? What does it mean that God is light? And three basic ways, there might be more than this, but I'll give it to us like this. First, God is light in that he is morally perfect, he holds all truth, and he is invincibly powerful. So let me go through those real quick. He is morally perfect. There is no evil way in him. No partly evil thought in him, no deviant desire for evil in him at all. There's no evil in him at all. If his morality were an enormous castle, there wouldn't be a crooked brick in it. God is light. If there is any darkness in light, it's not light anymore. God is light, as in he is morally perfect. He's only good. Second, God holds all truth perfectly. So we call him omniscient. He knows all things. He knows all things. And he also, as light, illumines things to us, reveals truth to us. Any scientific discoveries, mathematical proofs, or even biblical theology, all of these fall under the God of truth. He reveals these things to us. And this is why we say all truth is God's truth. Light shines on something so that we can see it for what it truly is. Light gives understanding. God illuminates truth to us, and that's part of him being light. And then third, he is invincibly powerful. If God is light, then darkness is his enemy. And when light and darkness collide, light wins every single time. Darkness is not a positive force. You may have heard this before, but darkness is not a positive force. It simply inhabits the space that light doesn't. If the light wants to live somewhere, darkness can't outbid the light for that piece of property. A wrestle between darkness and light always means that darkness is vaporized, if you will, and it's impossibly weak to the solid God of light. God is invincibly powerful as light. But I want to zero in here a little bit more. To make this a little bit more, I don't know, catchy that word, just a little simpler, I'll say it like this. God is light in that he loves good and hates evil. God loves good and hates evil. So he can only delight in holiness. He cannot delight in evil at all. What was the nature of things when he created them in the beginning? The first time we encounter God in the scripture, it's him creating for 6 days. He creates rest seventh, and he looks back on it, and what does he say? Genesis 1:31a. And God saw all that he had made, and behold, it was very good. It was very good. He can only do good things. He can only have good thoughts. He is perfect and loves good and hates evil. He adores purity, life, and abundant joy. Only loves good and always hates evil. Think of it like this. If he cannot hate evil, he would cease to be good. Think of it like this. The human body is created a certain way. Our bodies are created to eat nourishing food. It's what we're made for. And if we have nourishing food, this is part of us. This is contributing to the life that is within us. But suppose for a moment that I decided to do something really bad, ingest a substance that is antithetical to my life. If I ingest a gram of cyanide, I would cease to be. Because this thing that is the opposite of life causes the opposite of life in me. I need good food and not bad food. This would stop me from being a living body because it's this bad, dead thing. Likewise, God, who is light, cannot have any darkness in him because he would cease to be light. He would cease to be God. And he cannot cease to be light. He cannot cease to be God. And so there is no darkness in him. Now, if he loves good and hates evil, he does not just love and hate theoretically. He actually loves and hates extremely practically. When he saw our state, saw the evil that was within us, and saw his image in us and loved us, this good thing, he actually did something about it. So this is the book of 1 John, which is almost the same, almost certainly the same author as the Gospel of John. And it's in the Gospel of John that we read this extremely famous verse that God so loved the world that he did something. He loved, he did something. He sent his only begotten Son to die for us. Love isn't love unless you do anything about it. For example, I can say to my wife, honey, I love you so much, and then I go live in the Alaskan bush for the rest of my life. Like, that's not love. I can say something, but that's not real love. I'm not acting in line with what is true. That's not love. God loves us, and that is so good. He's done something about our desperate situation. He sent his Son to die for us. He's so good, and he's hated the thought of losing us all to our evil death. He gets rid of evil. Revelation 20:14 even says that death itself will be thrown into the lake of fire, which is the second death. Death and the devil will be done with because God is so good and hates evil so much. The darkness will be done. How do we reflect this? What do we do about loving good and hating evil? Do we love God's ways more than our own? Do we act in similar ways that he has acted? Now, Christ is infinitely more powerful, and he can accomplish infinitely more than we can, but we are Christians, which literally means little Christs. We are not him, but we get the opportunity to reflect him as he lives inside of us. So where are we rightly loving good in our homes? Where are we rightly cultivating good in our work? Where are we hating the evil that's in our heart and wanting to distance ourselves from it? Where do we see the evil in our heart and cast ourselves upon God to get rid of it in us? God will be faithful to demolish the darkness. Demolish the darkness, either today or eventually. But that actually causes a kind of a huge problem for us because we have sinned. I am not light myself. I have willingly participated in the darkness. I have crushed, could have been holy inside of myself. If in God there was no darkness at all, how in the world can I have fellowship with this God of purity, this God of light, this God of holiness? I can't. I can't because I have participated in darkness and become dark myself. I have myself left his fellowship, left the light, and walked into the outer darkness on my own with no way of finding my way back. I did that on my own accord. The night can never enter the day by moving toward it. The night can only become the day if the light comes to it. And that's exactly what happened with you and me. The light came to us. The light came to us because we could not have gone to the light and lived. This is the first three verses of the book. What was from the beginning, what we have heard, what we have seen with our eyes, what we have looked at and touched with our hands concerning the word of life, and the light was revealed, and we have seen and testified and proclaim to you the eternal life, which was with the Father and was revealed to us. What we have seen and heard, we proclaim to you also, so that you too have fellowship with us, and indeed our fellowship is with the Father and with his Son, Jesus Christ. Again, this is almost certainly the Apostle John speaking in these words. The same man who actually lived with the man Jesus Christ. He proclaims that he saw and touched and heard Jesus. This is his testimony. He says, I stand solemnly before the judge and testify that I have seen the risen Christ. Years ago, I heard Jesus call my name from his own vocal cords. I looked at his eyes. I can tell you about his hair. I can tell you about the way he walked. I can tell you about the foods he liked. I heard him pray with his voice. He touched me with his hands. He washed my feet. This man was real, and he really died, and he really rose, and he really lives to come again. This is his testimony. The light has come to us. We never would have found our way back to the Lord if we were on our own. He shined light on and showed us the path to eternal life, which is just trusting Jesus, us putting our faith in him. It's just faith, that's all. Faith is trusting and having your whole allegiance lie with this one God. God says he is our master and our father, and he says, repent and be baptized. And we say, yes, Lord, I love you. A great light has shone upon me. We trust him. The great light has come to us. It reminds me a little bit of when I was a kid. I was really little. We used to live in Inman, and we went to the zoo one time in Wichita. We were in the gorilla exhibit, having a good time, and I look around, and all of a sudden, I don't see my family anymore. They had walked on without me, not knowing. They thought I was with them, and so I was lost in the zoo by myself. Now, pause here and suppose for a moment that they continued on, walking through the zoo, enjoying their day, hopped in the car, drive back home, just hoping that he finds his way back. No, like, I'm never going to find my way back. I'm not sure if I even knew that they had names besides mom and dad at this point. Like, I can't find my way back home. There's no way. But as any good father does, when my dad realized that I wasn't with him anymore, he turned right around, looked desperately for me, and when he found me, embraced me, and was rejoicing because his lost son was found. And I wouldn't have found them on my own. In the same way, our Father has come to us because we never could have come to him. We couldn't have found our way back. God shone in this dark place. God sent himself as the light shining in a dark place. And if he hadn't shone in a dark place, this dark place would have been lost. It's only by the grace of God that we have fellowship with his Father, with his Son, Jesus Christ, with God, the Holy Spirit, and with one another. This light, mind you, is also personal. Imagine that this light that came to us isn't just some impersonal force. It's not just an all-moral power. This is a being who came to us personally to find us. The light is God. He has shown that he wants to light up the darkness, and he's begun in it, in our hearts, and in this world. Why are we ever still sitting in darkness? What corners of our hearts have we carved out to sit in for a little reprieve from the light of God? I'm positive that every single one of us have spaces in our lives God wants to inhabit, but we haven't let him yet. Where are those places? He wants to light up the darkness. What about those spaces around you, the relationships that are close to you, or the places on earth where this is a dark place? God wants to light it up. I believe that God wants us to fill these dark places with his Son, who brings forgiveness and restoration and healing and incredible joy. Christians are the ones holding this. God is inside of us, and so he can say, you are the light of the world. Maybe pray about this week, that God would give us the eyes to see the dark places, the courage to enter them with Jesus, and the grace to do so in love. We need all of those parts. The vision to see the dark places, courage to enter them with Jesus, and grace to do them in love. This is going to take patience, and Jesus did ministry on earth for 3 years. And he was arrested at the end of it all. His closest friends left him. But instead of saying, I don't care about you anymore, he continued faithfully to the cross, the only way that him and their relationship could have been restored. He remained faithful when they didn't. Thankfully, when we are seeking restoration in our communities, in our relationships, and with Christians, we must be patient, but the Lord has been more patient with us than we ever have to be with others. He has shown it to us first. So we can pray that he works in and through us to bring the light of the gospel in all of its healing ability to that which is around us, the dark places. People work is patient work, and we've all been tasked with loving God and loving people. And we need his grace to be able to have this true and beautiful fellowship with people. But this fellowship in Jesus actually is possible because we have fellowship when we walk in the light. We have fellowship when we walk in the light. It starts in verse 5 again. This is the message we have heard from him and announced to you, that God is light, and in him there is no darkness at all. If we say that we have fellowship with him and yet walk in the darkness, we lie and do not practice the truth. But if we walk in the light, as he himself is in the light, then we have fellowship with one another, and the blood of Jesus, his Son, cleanses us from all sin. This is an incomparable blessing that we have, walking in fellowship with God and with his people. We see this again in verse 3, just a couple of verses earlier. What we have seen and heard, we proclaim to you also, so that you too may have fellowship with us. And indeed, our fellowship is with the Father and with his Son, Jesus Christ. Walking in the light brings about like a fellowship combo deal, if you will. We get the Lord and we get each other. We get Christ and we get the body of Christ. What does this fellowship mean, though? What is this fellowship that we have, that we seek, that we desire, that we get to have? What is fellowship? Well, it's a mysterious spiritual union between us and God and us and other believers. Only those in Christ are the body of Christ. We are bound to one another as different parts of the body, getting in cooperation with one another for the glory of God. People who reject Christ or people who don't follow Christ don't get a part of this. They're not a part of this willing willing, participative opportunity to glorify God together with one another, this mysterious spiritual union. So we desire this. We desire this fellowship with God and man. How does the text say that we have this fellowship? It says, if we walk in the light. I want to make this clear. What does it mean to walk in the light? It does not mean that we never sin. That will be the case in eternity. We will never sin. And even now, we have the opportunity to live free. Live free of sin. This is what Jesus has come to release our bondage of. We can actually live free of sin here. But that's not exactly what it's saying. In context, what does it mean to walk in the light? Because it doesn't mean that a person never sins. Because a person who has not sinned is not the person who needs cleansing. This text says, if we walk in the light, then our sins are cleansed. The person who's perfect doesn't have sins. They don't need their sins cleansed. So clearly, this person walking in the light has had sin. What it does mean, what does walking in the light mean? It positively means humbly and faithfully living in light of the truth. Walking in light is humbly and faithfully living in light of the truth. And the truth is, we have sinned. We have sinned. Verses 8 through 10, if we say that we have no sin, we are deceiving ourselves, and the truth is not in us. If we confess our sins, we admit to it, he is faithful and righteous, so that he will forgive us our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. If we say that we have not sinned, we make him a liar, and his word is not in us. The truth is that we have sinned and need forgiveness. So to walk in the light is not just a one-step-and-stop situation. To walk in the light is to consistently, continually live in the truth that we have sinned and we receive the grace of God. We acknowledge this truth and repent to God. It doesn't say that those who live perfectly have their sins forgiven. That was only Jesus. But those who humbly acknowledge their sin and need for the God-man Jesus are the ones who are cleansed by him. The Gospel of John talks a lot about this clashing of light and darkness. This clashing of light and darkness starts in its first chapter. So John chapter 1, verse 19 through 21 says, Jesus says this, and this is the judgment, that the light has come into the world, and people loved the darkness rather than the light, for their deeds were evil. For everyone who does evil hates the light and does not come to the light, so that his deeds will not be exposed. But the one who practices the truth comes to the light, so that his deeds will be revealed as having been performed in God. We come to the light, letting our sins be completely revealed so that they can be completely cleansed. We see in God's light the truth of our sinful state, and we practice the truth in confessing our sin to him and trusting his leadership. We willingly give ourselves up to him. And what do we reap? What do we reap when we walk out of the darkness into the light? John 8:12 tells us this. When Jesus spoke again to the people, he said, I am the light of the world. Whoever follows me will never walk in darkness, will have the light of life. We have fellowship with God, who is himself eternal life. We live in step with what is actually true, which includes, as I've been saying, our confession that we need Jesus. But more than that, we actually get him. We actually get Jesus. Deepest friend, lover of my soul, the man who walked on earth with the most love possible is our friend. The God who is life, who is light, who is love, is in us. When we put our faith in Jesus, we have this spiritual fellowship that we don't just confess that we need him, but we actually get him. We have fellowship with God. And we have fellowship with each other. 2 Corinthians 6:14 rhetorically asks, what fellowship does light have with darkness? And the answer, of course, is none. So we can praise God that if you and I are in Jesus, we are in the light, and light can be together. Otherwise, we can't. We get to have fellowship because we are in the light. Holy men and women living faithfully, albeit imperfectly, in light of the gospel. This is where we find forgiveness and cleansing. This is where we find fellowship with Christians. Take the illustration. Imagine that you saw your friend's wallet sitting on a table, said, I want some of the money. You go, open it up, take whatever cash is in there, and they walk in the room. Caught you in the act. Now, you can confess that, okay, I just did that, and I've sinned, I need forgiveness. Or you could, potentially, deny that you even did this. Deny that you stole the money. Or you could try to twist it away like, oh, it's actually fun. It actually wasn't stealing. It was this other thing. It was going to be for a good cause, whatever it was. You both know that you did something wrong. And if you try to have a friendship going forward, that relationship is broke. You know what's happened, and you haven't confessed to it. But if you confess these things, there actually can be the possibility of restoration with each other here. When we confess our sins to the Lord, He is faithful and righteous to forgive us our sins. And now fellowship is real because we walk in the light. This is why God tells us to confess our sins to Him and to one another, because only through confession of our sins and trusting in Jesus can there ever be real restoration. So we confess to God and each other. We find forgiveness and restoration. We find fellowship and cleansing. This is eternal life. Now consider that when we confess to our Lord, trusting in Jesus, God doesn't have to reconsider all over again, going through each of our bad actions and say, I don't know, like should I forgive him again? He's asked like 50 times, 1,000 times. No. He glances over at Jesus, sees his holiness, and places on us because Jesus was the one who died on the cross, not us. He's the one who covers our sins. He just looks at Jesus. It's automatic. He's promised that He will forgive us and restore us if we confess and ask for this forgiveness. God will demolish the darkness because He is light and cannot lose. One day, this man that John testifies about, that he saw and heard and touched with his hands, that Jesus will return to us once again. Riding on the clouds, He will obliterate darkness. And in Christ, we will be either resurrected or changed in a moment, living with Him forever. Darkness will be no more. Death will be no more. As the end of Romans 16 says, the God of all peace will soon crush Satan under your feet. That is our God of life. Now, we get to do this every week. We do get to practice confession every week, and we're going to do that here. I will welcome the band up and the communion team to go back. But I hope this enlightens us a little bit that this isn't just something that we do once, pray a prayer, okay, I can live however I want for the rest of my life. But we practice faith in Him. We practice faith in our Jesus, confessing our sins and seeing ourselves restored continually. Walking step by step. We get to read this confession every once in a while, and I really love it. But would you please join with me in praying to our God? Most merciful God, we confess that we have sinned against You in thought, word, and deed, by what we have done and by what we have left undone. We have not loved You with our whole heart. We have not loved our neighbors as ourselves. We are truly sorry, and we humbly repent. For the sake of Your Son, Jesus Christ, have mercy on us and forgive us, that we may delight in Your will and walk in Your ways. To the glory of Your name, amen.